Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Amen. Is that your revelation tonight?
Amen.
Amen. There's a place for you in our Father's house. Amen. I think that, you know, anybody who can get that revelation, amen, what can shake you once you know that you know that you know? Amen. There's going to be a wedding supper someday, brother, sister. Amen. And you've got a seat with your name on it. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got a ticket. You know, you can buy a ticket from an airline these days, and that may get you a seat, depending on if they're oversold or not. Amen. But at this wedding supper, amen, it's not overbooked. Amen. There's a seat with your name on it. There's a place for you in our Father's house. And nobody can take your place. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And as I said this morning, that's where we belong. Amen. That's our place. We don't fit in this old world, but that's where we fit in. Amen. And you know, we should treat each other that way, because, you know, we can't have friends out in the world, you know, like we can have friends in church. We can't have that fellowship, that closeness, because we don't have the same things in common with the world. Sure, we can be friendly and we can have friends and family, and we should, man, we should display the love of Christ. But there's no bond like a brother or a sister. Amen. And where we have the same experience of Christ. And we fit in. Amen. Of all the places where you should fit in, this is where you should fit in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just love that. I love that song. That's a good one, Brother Mike. I like that one. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to continue with part two this evening, where we started out this morning. So just to invite you to turn in the scriptures. We're going to read two of the scriptures that we read this morning, sort of abbreviated a little bit. And how many loves the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Again, we just want to remember our pastor in prayer. Amen. And they'll be traveling home here this week. So just the Lord grant them traveling mercies and bring them back safe. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 7, verse 47. Solomon built him a house. We read this scripture this morning. Just want to read it again. Here, as we continue using this as our text, he says, "Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in the temple made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? You've built for me houses of things that I made," he said. Right? "You've built temples of stone and wood, and I made the stone and I made the wood." He said, and then this is Stephen preaching a sermon. Amen. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints." Amen. We are citizens in our Father's house, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. How many just have a need on your heart? You want to lift it up your hand tonight to him and just say, "Lord, you know the need. And Lord, you have the answer. So I'm lifting it up to you, Lord, by faith tonight, believing that you're going to meet this need." Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, Lord, you see every hand that went up in the building, Lord, and you knew about that need before the foundation of the world, Lord. And Lord, so we just lift it up to you, Lord. We lift up your people here tonight. We lift up our pastor, Father. We just pray that you would grant him traveling mercies, and our sister Baker as well, Father. And Lord, that you just be with us tonight, Lord, as we open your word, Lord. May you speak to our hearts, Lord, once again. Amen. Lord, we appreciate every time that we've come, Lord, where you speak to us, Lord. And Lord, you move in the service, but Lord, we're here again, Lord, tonight. For today, we have need of our daily bread. And Lord, tomorrow, we have to go out and face an unbelieving world and darkness and gross darkness all around us. But Lord, we want to shine the light of the gospel in that darkness. So Lord, I pray that you would just fortify us tonight with your word, Lord. Build us up and strengthen us, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. May we hear your voice clearly as a certain sound, Lord. So many voices in the world today, Lord, but there's something about your voice when you speak to us. Lord, we know that it comes from heaven. We know that it's truth. Lord, we know it's you speaking. Lord, and it brings peace to our heart, Lord, and it brings courage to us, Lord, and encouragement. And Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. So this will be part two. What house will you build me? Amen. So we saw this morning how that God has, through time, built or had his people building natural tabernacles. We see Stephen preaching this sermon to his fellow countrymen, who their experience was based on the tabernacle that Moses constructed in the wilderness, based on what Moses had seen in heaven. Amen? And then the temple that Solomon built as a place where God could come and meet with his people. And so we see him working through this temple, or the tabernacle, then the temple. Then he tabernacled himself fully in a man, the man Christ Jesus, is that right? And then he came in the Holy Ghost to tabernacle himself in his bride body, his church. So we know that his dwelling place no longer is a structure. It's not built of wood and stone, but it is men that are his temple, men and women of God. Amen? And he is building individuals as living stones. Amen? Not natural stones, but lively stones, not dead stones. Amen? Some people come to church and they resemble a dead stone. But they're living stones. Amen? Lively stones, he said in Peter. Is that right? That are actually growing. And they're growing into maturity. And we saw there in Ephesians where he says, where you're being builded together and building fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord. They're filling into their place in the body of Christ, growing in maturity. Amen? And that he is also built, not only is he building individuals, but with these individuals, as building blocks, he's building a body. He's building a house. Amen. Jesus was the man that housed the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead. But on the day of Pentecost, that pillar of fire broke and split apart into many licks of fire, and it fell on each one of them. And that fire is still falling today, but each one of us gets a little portion of him. Amen. None of us is the fullness of him, but collectively together we form his body, the feminine part of Christ, and then his head can come and we meet him in the air, and we meet all the saints will rise. Amen. And in a resurrection, we'll receive a new body and we meet our Lord in the air, the head of the body meeting his earthly body. Amen. Heaven and earth meeting once again. But he's building up this house. Amen. He's forming it in the way that he wants it. Hallelujah. We also, just by way of review, we talked about how those individuals, you know, it's always amazing to me. We take heart when we see someone, we see the entirety of their life lived out, when it was lived for Christ. We see, you know, we weren't there, right? But we see where they were. They had a beginning and they went and they lived a life and they go all the way through and they carry it through until the end of their life, faithful to God. Sure, there were many mistakes and things in between, but you see the end result where God has brought them to a place where they are a finished work. Amen. Like I said this morning, they've got their final polishing. That lively stone has been finished, and then they're cemented in place. Amen. So each individual has to be sanctified and consecrated to be part of his house. Is that right? Now, we also saw that the entire house or the true church is built on the cornerstone. Amen? Christ is the cornerstone that was rejected. But that stone that the Old Testament builders rejected, the New Testament builders laid it into place. Amen? We have the apostles that laid that corner. They built right up against it. They used it as their foundation, or their starting point to build the foundation of the church. We see Paul as the first church age messenger laying out that foundation for us, staking out the boundaries of the house, saying, look, the word goes this far, and here's where it ends, and this is where it turns. And we see the shape of it, and the foundation was laid solid. Amen. A firm foundation of Scripture that we can then build on and we can live our lives on. Is that right? Amen. And we don't want to re-preach all that this morning, but we know that's what we have to be founded on. That thus saith the Scripture is the foundation, not only of his body, but of our individual lives. Anything not built on that will surely crumble. Amen. Amen. Our church, if it's not built on that, it's going to crumble. It doesn't matter how gifted a minister is, how gifted a pastor or anyone is. It has to be founded on the Word. Amen. And that's how you know when you found a true man of God, a true pastor, a true preacher, they'll take you back to the Word. A true prophet will always take you back to the Word. Amen. That's why we have such confidence in Brother Branham. Because he took us back to the Word. He said, I didn't preach anything. I just preached what Paul preached. Right? And those thousands upon thousands on the other side said, we're resting on that. Why? Because this is the foundation. Everything must be built on it. Amen. Our lives, if they're not built on the Word, they're going to crumble. Amen. Our marriages must be built on the Word or they'll crumble. Our homes, our friendships, our businesses, our families, everything must be built on the Word of God. Amen. So he is building a body. He is using lively stones. He will have a resting place. He will complete it. Amen. He will have a body that is formed in the image that he wants it to be. He is making it to please him. And it is according to his original design. So what we want to look at tonight is what are some of the characteristics of this true church and of the individuals that it's composed of, because the church is just made of individuals, right? How is this house to be constructed? What are the materials? What are the characteristics? As we mentioned this morning, the physical temple had a purpose, right? It was the place where they could come and consult with God. It was the place where they could come and have their sins dealt with. Right? They could meet with God and have the blood applied on the mercy seat, a sacrifice made, whatever it was for. It was a place where they could come and worship. Amen? A place of supplication. A place of healing and deliverance. A place where they could bring their problems to God. Amen. They could get direction and answers. They could have communion and fellowship. And brother, sister, that was the purpose of the original temple. That's the purpose of this body. But now that temple, that place, is no longer in a physical building. Now it's in a living body. Amen. So in your temple, he wants to meet with you. Amen. To give you direction. Amen. To deal with your sin. Amen. To have fellowship. Amen. To worship Him. All of those things should be happening in your temple. Amen. This is His idea of a comfortable dwelling place. A place where He can find His rest. You know, if you, before you marry someone and you're going to move in with them, you kind of want to know where they live, where they want to live, right? You're like, hey, are you gonna want to go live in Antarctica? Because if you are, maybe I won't, will reconsider. Right? We need to know what kind of dwelling place are they interested in. Do they want to go live off in a cabin in the woods somewhere? Right? So we want to know what is God's idea of a comfortable dwelling place. What is He looking for? Now, the first thing I mentioned already this morning, and that's life, so I don't want to dwell on it too long. But the first attribute is His life, right? And we mentioned this morning how it all starts with His life. The living stones are living because they have His life. They've been made alive. Amen? They were dead in their sins. We were dead in our sins, but yet we were quickened by His life. And we've been made lively stones. That came out of the cornerstone. Amen? That's the first attribute. Brother, sister, He doesn't want a dead church. He's not interested in a dead, cold, formal religion. He's interested in a living church. Amen? That's alive by His power. His resurrection. Amen? The proof of the resurrection wasn't just that it happened 2,000 years ago, but that it's living in me. That it's living in you. Amen? That it still quickens and makes alive. That's the proof of His resurrection. Amen. I don't want a dead church, do you? I don't want a dead, cold, formal experience. And He doesn't either. The cornerstone is the life of Christ on display. Amen. Let's read 1 Corinthians. Sorry, it locked on me here. 1 Corinthians 3:16. He says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Amen. So we find the second attribute of His temple is holy. Amen. Sanctified. We are the literal temple of God on earth. That's what the scripture says. You are the temple of God. Literally His place. Where He dwells. On earth. So if we think about the rituals of sanctification and the ceremonies that had to be performed in the temples, right? To set it aside for service to God and all the things that they went through. Just to keep that physical temple sanctified. How much more? Amen? In our lives, should we keep our temples clean? Ready for the presence of the Holy, Holy. Holy, Holy, Holy of Holies. Amen? Jesus said when He walked on earth, He said, "If you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up again." Right? He was speaking of the dwelling place of God. They were still looking at that physical building. But He said, no, this is the temple. If you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up again. Amen? That's my testimony this evening too. Amen? Destroy this temple and it won't be gone. Amen? This temple may go into the ground, but it's coming back up again. It won't stay there. Amen? These temples have been designated for a purpose. Amen. And no grave, no death can hold them down in the ground. Hallelujah. And as we've preached before and many times, no doubt we will many more times about the holiness, sanctification of God. We are sanctified by His blood. We are clothed in His righteousness. Amen. She's not relying on her human works. These are the characteristics of the true church. She's not relying on her own works. She's clothed in His righteousness. She's not looking to some other source for her salvation. She's only looking at the blood of Christ. Amen? Amen. She's relying on His holiness that has been clothed upon her. And the true church is continually seeking His will above her own. That is how she is clean. Amen? She's continually walking in this world, but she's also continually seeking God. She's prayerfully walking step by step through life, making sure that the next step she takes is in line with the Word of God. She doesn't want her own will. She's looking for His will. Is that right? Amen. She wants to stay centered in His perfect will. That's her desire. And then when she fails, she repents quickly. She goes right to the throne of grace and mercy. Lord, I want to make it right. I don't want anything to be between us. Amen. The Bible says that the Laodiceans should be zealous and repent. Amen. And this true church, she zealously repents. She's excited about it. She knows that there's power in that. She knows that it is the grace of God when He shows her a shortcoming. Amen. When He points out unbelief in her life. When the Holy Spirit convicts her of sin, she's excited about it. She says, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. That's why I come to church, to be washed by the water of the Word. I don't come to be told everything's all right. I come to have my unbelief dealt with. I come to have you point out where I've made mistakes, Lord. Point out the things that where I've gone off track, Lord. And I want to repent. I want to be zealous about it." Amen. She's excited about that. She has a revelation that that unbelief is hindering her. Amen. I'm excited when I've got a chance to remove something that's hindering my walk with the Lord. Now, my humanity isn't always excited about it. Amen. It's got to humble itself. It's got to come under subjection. But in my soul, I rejoice. My soul is glad. Amen. My soul is glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." My flesh maybe doesn't want to get out of bed to do it. But my soul, it's longing. And it loves the washing of the water of the Word. Why? Because it's the temple. It wants to be kept clean. Lord, I want Your presence above all else, and I don't care what I have to do to get it. Amen. I want to be cleaned. I want to be washed. So the true church gets excited about it. She likes to be scrubbed. Amen. She likes to have those old rush, you know, the old Scotch Brite pads, you know. Rough. Amen. Scratchy. I like that old that lava soap. You ever use that lava soap? Amen. That thing about that lava soap, it'll get stuff off that that kind of, you know, fancy whatever lotion type soap that's got the moisturizer in it. That's all fine. But if I got a real tough some kind of stain or oil or something, I reach for the lava soap. Why? Because it's got some grit to it. Amen. It's rough. It kind of scratches you up a little bit. Kind of leaves you feeling a little raw. But you know what? You're clean by the end of it. Amen. And then the balm of the Holy Spirit comes and soothes. Amen. Scrubbed clean and scoured out by the Word of God. She wants that. She readily accepts correction because she understands the truth that as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. That's His word. Amen. So when she receives the chastening and the rebuke of the Lord, she doesn't take offense to it. She doesn't get her back up and say, "Why are you, you know, getting into my life? And why are you?" No, she understands the truth of it. She realizes it's for her good. Amen. And she recognizes He must love me. Because as many as He loves,
He chastens and rebukes. Brother, sister, the Holy Spirit doesn't just get after you because it loves you, or because it loves to do that. It gets after you because it loves you. And then that's why your pastor gets after us sometimes. Not because he's trying to hurt us, because he loves us. Because it's the Holy Spirit loving us through him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It is that cutting off of things of the flesh that hinder you, that then begin to free the Holy Spirit to be able to work in your life. It frees us to grow up as lively stones. It's something that's holding us back. Unbelief that holds us down, but then removing that frees us up. Amen. How many times, brother, sister, has unbelief in your life? It's just sapped your energy. It sucks away your time and your focus, your spiritual virtue. Amen. It just saps the life out of you. And sometimes it takes a hard cutting sword to cut that off. And the true church of the living God loves it. Amen. She knows that unbelief is what keeps her downtrodden by the enemy. But cutting out unbelief gives her victory over her enemy. Amen. She loves to be continually washed by the water of the Word. This is identified masterpiece of God. I read this morning, but I thought it would be good to repeat it here tonight. He says he's making a bride. Yes, sir. And he's hewing the chips now. And when what he's talking about, chopping off the world, that's not a soft process, right? Chopping and chipping. It involves sharp tools and hard thwacks. Yeah. Amen. Amen? If you're chopping down a tree or you're chopping things, you're giving it a good whacking. Amen? He's chopping off the world. He says, oh, church joining in creeds and denominations and dogmas all has to be cut away from the church. Formal ideas, their indifference, their doctrines and things. You don't have to be in a denomination to be affected by that type of anointing, that type of thinking. And that anointing is simply man being in control. Leading the church. Building up walls, amen, and saying, this is our denomination, and this and no more. And we've pushed God out of leadership because this is what we believe. And if you don't believe it, if you're not in our little square, you're not going, right? That's a denominational spirit. He says they have formal ideas. They're plagued by indifference. Their doctrines, false doctrines, because they've relied on the scholarship of man, right? He says, come back and let the master pick up the bow. Let the master pick you up in his hands. Again, he's speaking of the violin. Strike the word and say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, amen, Lord, make me, mold me. Make me, Lord, what I should be. Then there will be a different thing. You see, it's all about your attitude. The attitude of the true church is mold me, shape me, chip me, cut me. Do whatever you have to do. I want to get that unbelief off of me. Cut it away, Lord. So the third attribute is that she waits on the Lord, for thus saith the Lord. She doesn't get ahead of his program. She doesn't presume. Amen? She doesn't venture without authority. She doesn't do things outside of the word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? My wife and I both listened to trying to do God a service without it being his will this week. And he uses that example of King David. Right? He was trying to do God a service without it being his will. He was venturing without authority. Amen. He was moving off. Now, we spoke this morning about how David wanted to build the temple, right? But Solomon was the one that was allowed to build that temple. Well, brother, sister, if you look at that scripture, that's there in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's also in 1 Corinthians chapter, 17. I had to write that one down. David, in that chapter, in that instance, he goes to Nathan, the prophet. Right? And he says, Nathan, the temple is here. Why is the house of the Lord in tents when I live in this nice house of cedar? Right? Let me build a temple. And remember, he did the right thing. He consulted Nathan the prophet. Right? And Nathan said, the Lord is with you. Do what all is in your heart. And then the Lord came back, corrected him, and said, no, tell him that he won't build it, but Solomon, his son, is going to build my temple. Right? Well, David did the right thing in that instance. But just a few chapters earlier, the Bible says that tells the story where David went to get the ark. The reason that the ark was there is because David went to get it, right? And they went and they brought it. And the Bible says that he consulted his captains about how they might do it. And the way that they did it was they captured the ark, they brought it, and they put it on a new cart, right? You know the story? They put it on a new cart drawn by oxen, and they began to use that to bring the ark back to Israel. Well, one of the oxen stumbles, the thing kind of shifts, and one of the men that was leading the oxen, driving the cart, he puts his hand on the ark to stabilize it, to keep it from falling, and the Lord kills him. Amen? He dies instantly. David is upset. What happened? What went wrong? And they put the ark in a man's house who, you know, he just starts getting overflow with blessings. Amen? And then David realizes his error. They come back. They get the Levites the correct way, according to the word of God. The Levites put the ark on their shoulders. Amen? They begin to pack it back to Israel. They take that oxen that were pulling it and they sacrifice them. Amen? And then the ark comes back to Israel, and then that brings the conversation where he's talking to Nathan about building the temple. Amen. Now that you got all the background, you all probably knew all that already. But David had decided to bring that back to Israel, and David was the king. He was the anointed king. He was called the man after God's own heart. He was anointed, he was appointed, he was elected. Amen? He was gifted. His throne is the throne that Christ will be sitting on. Amen? The throne of David. He had good motives. He had good intentions. He had a good objective. My, everything just seemed to line up, right? Didn't God want the ark to come back to Israel? Yeah. David said, I've got the leading of the Lord to do it. Let's do it. There was nothing wrong with any of that, right? We're told, we're instructed in the message that when you're trying to make a decision about something, what are you supposed to look at? You're supposed to look at your motive, right? Why you want to do it. What is your motive behind it? He said, is your motive for God to heal you so that you can go out and party some more? Why would God heal you? But if your motive is, God, heal me so I can serve you, then you've got the right motive, right? So what's your motive? And then he says, what's your objective? What are you actually asking for or desiring or looking to do? Is the objective right? So your motive, your objective, and then he said, finally, does it match and line up with the word of God? That was the step that David missed. That is what the true church of the living God will live by. She will not step outside of that. Amen? She will follow the word of God. So David had the right motive. He had the right objective. He wanted to do right. In fact, they even had a big revival around it. Amen? I mean, they had dancing and singing, and David was anointed and gifted. So it must have, I mean, it was probably anointed worship. I mean, they're thinking that the ark is coming back, right? They began to have music, and Brother Branham said it was like they had a big revival, right? I mean, they were putting together like what we would call in, you know, more modern times, like big tent revivals and everything. No doubt very anointed. But yet, it wasn't according to the word of God. He failed to consult the prophet. He consulted the captains, but he didn't ask the prophet. He didn't ask, he didn't consult the word. He was trying to do God a service, but he wasn't doing it God's way. Amen? So because he didn't consult the word, because he didn't consult the prophet, he was operating under man's reasoning. And under man's reasoning, you've got a heavy object, you want to move it. Hey, a cart seems a whole lot better than packing it. Why would you put it on your back and pack it when you can put it on a cart? Amen? Let's use modern technology here. Amen? I mean, sure, we packed it on our backs back then before we had oxen cart, but now we've got this. So why wouldn't we do it now? Right up at this last age, would God change his program? Makes sense, right? Seems reasonable. Seems like the smart thing to do. You're going to save money on, you know, workman's comp claims? Because the Levites won't be injuring their backs. You see man's reasoning, right? But the word was meant to be carried by the Levites. That was God's way. That was God's word on the matter. They were called of God for that purpose. Amen? That's why they were separated, to carry the word. They weren't any better than anybody else. But that was what they were called to do. So no matter how much sense it made to put it on a cart, God didn't ordain a mechanical device to take the place of the Levites. No matter how good it looks, no matter how anointed David was, no matter how good the motive, no matter how right the objective, it wasn't according to the word of God. It made sense, but it wasn't God's word. The true church runs everything back to the word. Amen? They don't rely on good motives alone. Sure, that's part of it. They don't rely on intentions alone. You can be sincerely wrong. You can be sincere as can be and drink acid and die, believing that you're doing the right thing. No one would question your sincerity. But it's got to be according to God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. Brother, sister, that shows a divide in our day, does it not? Why would God change his program here at the end? He's carried the word on the backs of the Levites all the way through. And then suddenly at the end, no, we don't need that anymore. Doesn't make sense. Amen. She also submits to his authority. Amen. She recognizes who her king is. She recognizes the authority of the word of God. She recognizes the gifts that God has put in the body. And she submits to those as submission to God, not to the people or the men that have the gifts, but recognizing that God sent that gift. And that there is a position. And she submits herself to that position. She recognizes that God uses those gifts to speak to her. And she's looking for that voice. She's listening for that voice. She's not listening for the voice of a preacher or a teacher or any other gift, but she's listening for his voice. And then she submits to that. She has great humility. And she's willing to be led like a sheep. But she's not willing to be led just by any shepherd. He said, "My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow." She knows the voice of her shepherd, and she willingly submits and follows that. But it has a certain sound. And though the enemy would try to mimic it and try to throw her off course and try to distract her with other voices, she won't follow those other voices. She'll stay right with that one that just has that ring to it. And she's got the Holy Ghost to help her discern that. She has discernment and the ability to hear his voice and to follow that. That is a great gift in this age, brother, sister, where there are so many voices. Satan has perfected deception in this age. Is that right? He has perfected redirection and don't look over here, but look at this, look at that. Amen. And listen to this voice. And doesn't this look good? And doesn't this sound right? But the true church has discernment. She can hear that certain sound. Amen. Above all the noise, there's some sounds that just don't sound right. Maybe she can't even explain it. She doesn't know why. It just kind of makes that, it just doesn't ring the bell. Amen. Can't explain it. I don't know why, but I know that there's just something off there. But then when that voice rings out truth, oh, she says, "That's it. I know that that's him speaking. That's my shepherd." Amen. That's him speaking. Even when it defies reasoning, she willingly submits to that word. She knows, brother, sister, that if she does her part, then he will do his part every time. Much like a wife submitting to her husband's authority. Amen. So many times, you know, when women get out of their place, out of their position, they won't submit to their husband. Their excuse is, well, he's not doing his part. So you're going to get he's out of his place, and you're going to get out of your place, and that's going to make it better? Why don't you, you know, be in your place, and then that will make room for him to move into his. The bride will never get out of place. She will never try to usurp the authority of her husband, the bridegroom. Amen? The true church doesn't walk outside of the light. She walks in the light. The Bible says we walk in the light as he is in the light, and he reveals his word to us, and as he shines the path, we walk in the light. Amen? But we don't walk outside of the light. We walk in the light. Amen? As he leads her along, she doesn't get ahead of his program. She finds her position in the body. I'm so thankful for that. Amen? And brother, sister, she's satisfied with it. An individual stone that gets placed into the body of the house of God that we've been talking about, I'm just thankful to be part of it. Amen. I don't care where you put me, Lord. I just want to be in your house. And you know what? You know best. I didn't make me. I didn't think of me. Right? This wasn't my idea. The master builder's the one that came up with the program. Why not just let him decide where all the pieces fit? And be satisfied with that. That's where Satan got into trouble in the beginning. He wanted a position that wasn't his. He wasn't satisfied with the blueprint that the master builder had, the position that he had given him. Amen? Brother, sister, that's such peace for us. Lord, you've placed me here in this place, in this position. I'm trusting you. I'm thankful for it. Lord, I have peace in knowing that you know best. Amen. The fifth thing, she's perseverant. Amen. She holds on with bulldog faith. Once she knows, thus saith the Lord, there's nothing that can move her from it. Amen. There's nothing that can shake her. She gets a hold of the word of God and she knows, that's my promise. That's the word of God concerning me. I'm going to hold on to it. Amen. Hallelujah. She's a warrior. Amen. I don't care if you're the meekest Christian here tonight. You're a warrior. You're made to fight. You've been given weapons of warfare. They're not carnal weapons, but they're mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Mighty warriors. Hallelujah. Do you feel like a mighty warrior all the time? No. I sure don't. But that's what God has called you to be. Perseverant. Not turning aside. Once you know the will of God, staying right with it. And humble enough to take a crumb. What do I mean by that? Remember the Greek woman, the Syrophoenician woman, amen? She came to Jesus and said, Lord, my daughter has this issue, amen? And he said, look, healing is children's bread. You're Greek. You're a dog. That's what he called her. It's not given to dogs. And what was her answer? She said, yea, Lord. Right? I agree. Lord, you're right. You're God. Who am I? I'm nothing. Who am I to say anything? But, Lord, those crumbs. Couldn't I have one of the crumbs? I'll take the crumb. Amen? Whatever he gives, I will take. Some people won't even take that. They're too high and mighty and proud to take a crumb from the living God. I'll take a crumb. Amen? Let's read a little statement here from Message Perseverance. He said, that don't stop faith. Faith is still there, just as fresh as it ever was. What does faith admit? The truth. She said, that's the truth, Lord, speaking of that woman. Oh my, see how little you can get. Not how big you can get. Faith makes you little. Notice, she was perseverant. I mentioned this morning where he said, faith makes you little. What does that mean? Faith submits. Faith is saying, the word of God is my authority. I'm submitting, I'm humbling myself to that because that is the authority. I'm holding on to that. That's faith. He says, yet he wouldn't pay no attention to her. He ignored her. And finally she got in his way and couldn't get around her. And then he told her and said, I'm not sent to you, to your race. Your race is nothing but a bunch of dogs. Whew. And I'm not going to take the children's bread. It's not right for me to take the children's bread healing to this group and give it over to the dogs. Now, a modern styled Christian would say, well, fine, if you're going to be that way, right? Your flesh would raise right up and say, well, if he's going to treat me that way, I have my rights. I'm an American. I'm going to go protest. Amen? Well, you see, faith behaves differently. Faith is humble. He says, faith will always admit the word is truth. Amen. Amen. There was something in her that knew that he was speaking the truth. I doubt she could have explained it. I doubt she could have told you, you know, through the Bible or explained it from a theological standpoint what he was talking about. But there was something in her that knew that that was the truth. Faith will always admit the word is true. Amen. He says if you got real faith and the Bible tells you you're doing wrong, you'll admit that you're wrong. That is real faith. He says you won't say, now wait a minute here, I belong to... That's not faith. When the word says it, that's where you're right or wrong is by the word. Paragraph 76, now watch, she admitted the real true faith always admits the word is right. Always admitting the word is right. Truth, Lord, I'm nothing but a dog. I mean, that kind of probably hurt a little bit, right? Right? I mean, she probably didn't understand that at all, but she submitted. Lord, yes, Lord, whatever you say. Truth, Lord, you wasn't sent to my race, that's the truth. She didn't want to see what this was or that was. She just admitted that the word was right. So she didn't argue with him. She didn't say, well, show that to me. She said, Lord, whatever you say, Lord. Amen. See the humility of faith. He says, and the spirit of faith always admits the word is right. Notice, true, Lord, I'm not after the children's bread. But let me just take the crumbs that falls from the master's table. Oh, hallelujah. That got him, he says. That was it. He said, for this saying, go thy way, thy daughter is made whole. Faith admits the truth. Oh, the same now. Faith always goes with the word. She was perseverant and she got what she asked for regardless of the circumstances. Why? Because she was willing to humble herself. She was willing to take the crumbs. She was willing to take whatever the master offered. Amen? I just want whatever he has for me. Lord, I'm not going to presume to know what I need. I'm not going to presume to know what's best for me. Lord, I want what you have for me. Just what you want for me. Lord, in my job, my career, my family, my life, where I live, Where I go to church, Lord, you know, Lord, just you direct me, Father. Lord, you know best. I don't know, Lord. I'm going to surrender to you. Faith has humility. Amen. That's a characteristic of the true church of the living God. They're perseverant in humility, holding on to faith, submitting to the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. She's the temple of God. The temple of God. His representative on earth. He was humble. He submitted himself. Think about that. He submitted himself, the God of the universe, the one that created everything. He created the material that went into that cross. He created the material that went into those nails. He created the molecules and the material that went into those thorns that were pressed into his head. He created the whips that whipped his body. He created the hateful men that did it to him. And yet he submitted himself to that. He humbled himself, the Bible says, to the cross. Amen? And how can we, as his representatives, how can we exhibit any less humility? This is what he is building. Amen? We see it manifest, but it's a humble work. This is not a work that's going to be published in the newspapers. If there are any newspapers left. On the internet. Amen? On CNN or whatever. Cable news. It's not going to be broadcast to Satan's Eden. We're not going to be famous. You're not going to be well known on this earth. It's not the big revivals of the 1950s where Billy Graham was a household name. Amen? That's not the work in this last age. It's humble. It's small in the world's eyes. But it's big in God's eyes. It's important. Amen? And it's worth being a part of, don't you think? Amen? Well, they don't consider it at all. The world doesn't consider it at all. Just a few little here and there, and those that are grabbing a hold of God's word and staying right with it, It's getting fewer and fewer, brother, sister. The church is getting worldlier and more worldly as time goes on. And there's very few that are still holding on to the true Word of God, that's still holding on to a standard of holiness. They've just gone off into the... They've just going right with the world, tracking right with society. And sure, they maintain a higher standard than society, but as society is, standards have been falling off the cliff. The church, the worldly church now, has just been going off and off and off. But there's still a true church, amen? There is still a true representative of Him on earth. There are those that have not compromised and will not compromise on His word, that will stay the course, that will exhibit all of these attributes that I've talked about. Amen? This is where He's working. This is His workmanship. This is where His focus and His thoughts are, on building this body. Amen. Let me just... I've got just a couple more quotes. Is that all right? Questions and answers. I just love how he says this. Just the question. Brother Branham, is it too late to preach to sinners anymore? Oh my, what a question. Amen. You know, and there are some people that would say, yeah, it's too late. But that's, no. He says, no, don't get that in your mind, brother. Look what he says. Keep on building the house. Amen. Keep adding those stones. Keep adding the materials to the house. Keep preaching to the sinner. He said, keep doing everything you can. Just keep on going until you're called away. See? Amen. Run your race. Do it until you're finished. Keep building the house. That's the way he puts it. Amen? And then why Christ speak? He says, now you say that. He says, now that's senses. You like to say that because it's a denomination or something big. We've got more members than any church in the world. See, but there's only one real church. And you don't join it, you're born into it. I don't care what organization, denomination, what church you belong to. There's only one true church that we're talking about. And that is the church that we're born into. Amen? It crosses boundaries of physical locations and churches and countries and nation and every kindred, tongue, and people on the earth. Amen? There's one body, one baptism, one church. Amen? He says there's only one real church. You don't join it, you're born into it. See, and if you're born into it, the living God works himself through you to make himself known. See, that's where God dwells in his church. Not the physical building. He's dwelling in these lively stones, this house that he's building up. Listen to this now. God goes to church every day. God goes to church every day. We're not talking about coming to the building. He said he lives in church. Why? Because he lives in you. So wait a minute. God living in you, God coming into you, is God going to church? He says you're his church. You are his church. Church just means called out, right? We're the tabernacle. Remember, I started this off by saying that we have become the temple, where the temple, all of these things, the meeting place of God. Now we become the meeting place of God. You are his church. You are the tabernacle that God dwells in. You are the church of the living God yourself. And if the living God lives in his living being, then your action is of God. If it isn't, then God isn't in there. He wouldn't make you act like that when he says in the word here, his blueprint, don't do it, and then you do it. See, that's wrong. When you deny it, that shows that the life isn't even in you. See, that's right. The life that's in you determines how you will act, how you'll live, how you'll line up with the Word. If the living Word is in you, you'll live out the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. We are the church of the living God. Amen? Yes. We are His tabernacle, His dwelling place. The place where He wants to find rest. The place where He wants to be comfortable. The place where He wants to dwell. The foundation is built on Him. We've got to keep that foundation, amen? But He's building it up. He's building it up. Don't let what's going on around you distract you or pull you away or turn you aside. We need to stay right with His Word. Stay the course. Amen? Stick with the humility, the simple humility of the gospel. And persevere in that. I'm so thankful tonight to be part of God's program. I mean, there's a lot of things that we have the freedom to do as Americans. We have opportunity. This is, they call this the land of opportunity. And, you know, it still is the land of opportunity. When you look at the rest of the world, we're blessed to live here. And, you know, we have the freedom here, you know, if you want to go do something, start a business, whatever, you're free to do it. Amen. You can go do it, and there's a lot of opportunity. But I can't think of anything more important, more worthwhile, more satisfying than being part of God's program. As the song says, it's worth my living. It's worth my dying. It's worth my crying. It's worth my giving. It's worth, right? I don't know all, how it all goes. Amen. But it's worth it all. I know it's worth it. To make heaven my home. To be the dwelling place of the living God. To be so surrendered to Him that He can then work through you. The living God. My, my, my. I know it's worth it. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand this evening. Guess we'll let you out a little bit early tonight. Brother, sister, that word is still true. That word is still our foundation. Amen. There is still power in the blood tonight. Amen. There is still power in the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. And though one would fall on the left and fall on the right, it doesn't change the fact that there is overcoming power in the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're feeling defeated tonight, if you're feeling defeated, that's one thing. Amen? You needn't be defeated tonight. The Word still heals. It still delivers. There's still power in it. It still saves. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no need to feel defeated tonight. There's no need to be defeated tonight. The only reason that you should be defeated is if you refuse to submit to the Word of God. If you refuse to surrender. But if you come humbly and you surrender, there's no demon in hell that can stand before you. Why? Because you're lined up with the Word of God. That's the power of this gospel. That's the power that is at our disposal here tonight. That's why we can be perseverant. Amen? That's why we can hold on with confidence. I'm not sure why we're going down this path, but you don't need to be defeated tonight. There is no reason any child of God should walk out of this building tonight feeling defeated. Amen. There is deliverance here tonight. There is power tonight. When the children of Israel were walking with that tabernacle in the wilderness, and they came and faced an enemy, They either defeated that enemy, and if they didn't defeat that enemy, they asked why. And the Lord showed them where the sin was in the camp. They dealt with the sin in the camp, and then they went back and won the victory. Amen. That should be only sin. Unbelief is the only thing that should hold us back from victory tonight. If that sin is dealt with, if you can surrender and let the Lord deal with unbelief in your life, there is no demon in hell that can stand before your prayer. Israel never lost a man in a battle until there was sin in the camp. And once there was sin in the camp, they lost a battle. Men were killed. They were defeated. But God didn't leave them. He didn't desert them. He just said, get the sin out. Deal with it. Take care of it. Amen. And you can have the victory again. Right. Amen. It's that simple for us tonight. Amen. How long does it take to repent? Seconds. Right. Lord, forgive me. Right. Repent from a truly repentant heart. Right. Amen. Make that right. Get that sin, that unbelief out of your life. Deal with it. And brother, sister, then you've got a right to stand on God's promises. Every promise in the book then is yours. And it belongs to you tonight. And there's still power in it. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, how we love you, Lord. How, Lord, it's a privilege, Lord, to be part of your program in this hour. Lord, it's a privilege to be part of your bride. Lord, to be part of your church, Lord. Lord, to have you living and dwelling in us, Lord. Oh, God, forgive us, Lord, for the times where we've forgotten that we are the temple of the living God. Oh, Lord, for the times when we've wandered astray, Lord. The times where we've left your word behind, Lord. Where we've gone off on our own, Father. Lord, where we've let our flesh get in the way of serving you, Lord. Forgive us for that, Lord. Lord, we want to be clean, Lord. We want to be a lively stone, O God, fitly placed in the kingdom and part of the house of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just move on the hearts of your people tonight, Lord. I pray that there would be victory in the camp tonight. Lord, but we know that victory comes at a cost. Lord, you've purchased it with your precious blood at Calvary. Yet it's up to us to crucify our flesh. It's up to us to lay down our unbelief, to lay down the sin that so easily besets us, to sacrifice our pride, to lay our flesh on the altar, O God, to receive that overcoming power, to be in a position where we can receive that victory tonight. Your body is the place where there's the shout of the king in the camp. It's not a defeated body, Lord. You're not defeated tonight. Your arm is not shortened, Lord, but your arm is extended to us. You are more than able, Lord, to make us more than conquerors. Oh God, how we love you tonight, Lord. Oh Father, bless your people, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord, just to to stay with that voice, Lord, to stay with the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Stay with your word. Stay in line. Stay in line. Don't get out of line. We're coming up to the end. We can't afford to get out of line now. Help us, Lord, to stay that course, I pray. Bless my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord. Each one of us tomorrow, Lord, we're going to go out into the world. We're going to go to our jobs. Go to our homes. Rub shoulders with unbelief. Rub shoulders with demon anointings, Father. Lord, I pray that every one of us would walk in victory tomorrow. Our flesh being under subjection to the Word of God. Our hearts lifted up in knowing that we are the temples of the living God. Encouraged, Lord, by your presence. Knowing, Lord, that the power of God lives in us. I pray that you be with each one, Lord. No doubt there are many trials that we will face this week. No doubt there are many demons that will come against us. They may come against us in the flesh, in our emotions, Lord. They may bring depression our way. They may bring fear our way. They may try and anoint us with all manner of evil and unbelief. But Lord, we are more than conquerors because we are the temples of the living God. You, Lord, promised that you would have that kind of a church, one that's walking in victory. Oh, not one that won't go through trials, but one that will go through trials and will emerge victorious through every one. One that will not lose their confession. One that will not lose their praise. One that will keep praising God in the good times and keep praising God in the bad times. Lord, that's the kind of people we want to be, Lord. Help us to be that, oh God. Bless you. Bless them here tonight, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be that kind of Christian? Amen. No matter what storm's going on around you, a solid rock. Amen. Standing on a rock of revelation, praising God, worshiping God, saying, though he slay me, yet I will praise him. Yet I will not turn away. I will not forsake him. Amen. I'm going to stand right on his word. I don't care what comes my way. Hallelujah. Amen. His temple is a temple of worship. Amen. Let's worship him here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. My heart's one desire is to